The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Christmas is from 1 Kings chapter 3. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life, or riches, or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has ever been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. The child Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" They did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is Luke chapter 2, 40 to 52, the gospel lesson you just heard. The sermon title is, "What Did Jesus Do?" You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the 1990s, there was a movement among Christian teens in America epitomized by the acronym WWJD. I first saw those letters on a button at an LCMS evangelism conference, but they were most popular among youth on wristbands having the same initials. WWJD is short for "What Would Jesus Do?" The idea was that would try to trigger in the mind of the wearer, what would Jesus do in this circumstance? The problem with the acronym "What Would Jesus Do?" WWJD is that it is speculative and encourages speculative thinking about theology. Well, here's one example. What would Jesus do if he had been a policeman in Minneapolis, Minnesota, on May 25, 2020, at the scene of George Floyd's arrest? Well, we don't know. And trying to know that is speculative. We know very little about Jesus apart from his 3 to 4 year ministry in Galilee, Samaria, the Jordan River Valley, and in Judea. Jesus worked as an itinerant rabbi, healer, and religious teacher of his disciples from about the age of 26 to 30. Now, we know a lot about what Jesus did and said in that period of 3 to 4 years because it is recorded in detail in the four Gospels. But what did Jesus do apart from that 3 to 4 year period in his ministry? And that question is answered in our gospel lesson this morning. What Jesus did from childhood until age 26 can be summarized under two headings. Number one, he obeyed and served his father and mother. Two, he studied the scriptures, which contained the wisdom and will of his heavenly Father. Our gospel is the familiar story of Jesus at the age of 12 in the temple. It appears that Joseph and Mary made an annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem on the Passover, and this was common for observant Jews of the day. All male Jews were expected to travel to Jerusalem for the Passover, according to Exodus 24, 14 to 17, and Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. The celebration included the liturgical slaying of the lamb at the temple, and then a family meal of that lamb after sundown on the 15th day of Nisan. This was a memorial feast, remembering God's deliverance of the people of Israel from Egypt through the leadership of Moses. And we are studying that, by the way, in our Bible class on Sunday mornings. After the conclusion of this feast, Mary and Joseph began the journey home to Nazareth, only to discover that Jesus was not with the group. Mary and Joseph had thought he was with his cousins, aunts or uncles, or their close friends' families, but he was nowhere to be found in the caravans. Fearing the worst, they returned immediately and traveled back to Jerusalem, finding him after 3 days' search. What was Jesus doing? It says in our text, they found him in the temple, sitting in the middle of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. That's verse 46 and 47. Mary reprimanded Jesus publicly in front of all of the teachers of the law, and he replied, "Why is it that you are seeking me? Did you not know that it is necessary that I am among the things of my Father?" Verse 49. Then Jesus returned to Nazareth with his parents and was obedient to them. So what did Jesus do? Up until the beginning of his earthly ministry, about age 26, he obeyed his parents. Now you might think it unusual that a son of age 26 was obedient to his parents. Well, I'm not going to say anything about your families. But this was not unusual in a culture where the son almost always took up the career of his father and was trained by him. We can assume that Jesus became a carpenter by trade, like his father, and assisted him in his work. And so his father Joseph was his boss. So of course, you obey the boss. At home, Mary oversaw the house and domestic duties, whatever that involved. Jesus helped as she had need, without being asked. Jesus continued to obey his parents up until age 26, when his mother gave him orders to get some wine at the wedding of Cana, and she was rebuked by him. That's John chapter 2, verse 4. What did Jesus do? He obeyed his parents in all things. He did the chores around the house, followed his dad's orders at work, and helped at home wherever there was a need. Really, the perfect son, in many ways. What else did Jesus do? It is evident from our gospel that Jesus had great familiarity with the Old Testament scriptures, because that was the object of discussion between him and the teachers of the law. Although it might surprise you, Jesus could have read the scriptures as early as age 5. In the Mishnah, which was the collected teaching of the Pharisees from about 200 AD, it is written there, quote, "At 5 years old, a person should study the scriptures, at 10 years for the Mishnah, and at 13 for the commandments." That's in Pirkei Avot 5:25. Therefore, it is not unreasonable to conclude that Jesus started reading the scriptures at age 5 during Sabbath school, like other Jewish boys his age. After 8 years of such study, even an average boy could retell most of the chief Bible stories, sing a few psalms, and recite the Ten Commandments by memory. This was just the way it was among the Jewish people. What was unusual for Jesus at age 12 was not the fact that he could read the Hebrew scriptures, but that he knew them so well and deeply. The term understanding in verse 47, which it ascribes to Jesus, means more than mere rote memory of a subject. It means to understand the principles of the subject matter, how one topic relates to another, how an argument should be posed, and how to apply principles and commands to real-life situations. That's what understanding means. Jesus was able to converse with and debate with the very best scholars in the Hebrew scriptures of his day, and to hold his own in those discussions. In this area, he was a prodigy, just like Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart was a prodigy in the composition and playing of instrumental music at a very early age. Now, what the people of Jesus' day did not know about him was that as the second person of the Trinity, he was involved in the authorship of the Hebrew Scriptures. We confess in the Nicene Creed that the Holy Spirit spoke by the prophets. In 1 Timothy 3:16, St. Paul writes that all Scripture is inspired by God. And since Jesus was God and the Holy Spirit was proceeding from him, he knew the Scriptures just like an author knows his own book, that is, better than all his readers and all of his critics. How do we apply this gospel to us today? First, we see the perfect obedience of Jesus to both his heavenly Father and to his parents. This perfect obedience is part of his work of salvation for all mankind and is thus the most important part of this text. Jesus' obedience, not just on the cross, but his perfect obedience throughout his life, is what saves us. Second, we see in Jesus' example how all children should obey their parents. The Small Catechism, Table of Duties number 9, quotes Ephesians 6, 1-3. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Such obedience is not limited to the childhood years, but is especially needed during the teenage years when there are so many temptations to disobey. Even young adults should obey their parents, so long as they're living with their parents and are financially dependent upon them. In the same manner, parents need to remember their duties to not provoke your children to anger, lest they become discouraged. That's in Ephesians 6:4 and Colossians 3:21, also Small Catechism, Table of Duties, number 8. Finally, you can see in Jesus' example how each one of you should be interested in reading and studying the Holy Scriptures, in which you find the wisdom and will of your Heavenly Father. Most importantly, you find the plan and promise of eternal life in the Scriptures. As Jesus told the Jews, "You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." That's John 5, 39-40. The Jews studied the Scriptures intensely, but they missed its main point: who was standing before them there in the temple at age 12. So when you study the Scriptures, you need to keep the person and work of Christ front and center in your mind and heart, and then you'll understand it properly. And most of all, believe in everything that Jesus says. In Jesus, our obedient Savior's name, amen.